Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we could look at it today, that we could hear your word today. Thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for preserving the Bible for us all these thousands of years. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your book, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that orchestrated, that inspired every word in this book so that we could hear from you and know what is on your heart, what is the communication that you have for us, the revelation, Lord, that you have for us. Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to look in your word. We pray that you would help us to be not only hearers but doers of your word. As we listen, God, help us to apply all that you say to us. God, to live the life that you want us to live here on this earth for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in a study in the book of Romans. If you've been around here for a while, you know that that's the case. If not, we're letting you know. And we just finished recently through chapter 3, and the next destination for us is into chapter 4. But this morning, I'm jumping ahead into chapter 5, expecting next week to go back a chapter and proceed through chapter 4. The reason why I'm doing that is because I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart to identify a moment that we're in as a church and to capture that moment for the glory of God, to recognize what the Lord is doing among us and to know how to respond to that. And in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, there's one statement in the last part of one verse and another statement in the first part of another verse that really helped me to express what the Lord has put on my heart. And we're going to look at that from Romans chapter 5, verse number 2, the last part, and verse number 3. But first of all, we're going to read the entirety of Romans 5, verse 1 through verse 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a beautiful expression there. Sometimes when you don't have peace in your life, it's because of not having that relationship with God that you need and recognizing that God wants to justify you by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to bring you into pleasing relationship with God. We're all sinners, but God has a plan for us to be saved from our sins and to be brought into relationship with himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. So I encourage you in that walk of peace that God has for you, me, and all of us. Verse 2, through him, Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Jessica preached an amazing message on this a few weeks ago about how we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And Jessica, just to encourage you about that message, there was one major point that you made in that message that every week since, God's been speaking that to me. Incredible teaching. And so an amazing statement from the scripture here. But then let's look at the next line, even more carefully than the others for the sake of what we want to present this morning. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We're going to talk this morning about what we can expect as a church to receive from God, but I want to talk first to individuals. What can you expect from God? According to Scripture here, you can expect the glory of God. Already in this passage, there was a revelation, an expression of the wrath of God against sin. And none of us want to experience that. We don't want to experience the wrath of God against our sin. Knowing that we're all sinners, we want to escape the wrath of God. That's why the Bible talks about salvation, being saved from the wrath of God. But those who are saved from the wrath of God, here's what they can expect: the glory of God. It's a silly question, but I have to ask it. Would you rather have the wrath of God or the glory of God? The glory of God. This is an amazing concept for us to look at, to see God in all of his glory. There's going to come a day, and we sang about it this morning from the very beginning of this service, when Jesus, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead, and who had ascended to the Father, is going to come back for us, and he's going to bring us. In fact, he said to his disciples, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going away to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now, I know the King James Version says mansions, and then the newer versions, translations say rooms. I think what we're talking about is a big mansion with a lot of rooms, okay? We're not going to be, I'm in one mansion over here, you're in another mansion over there. We're in one big happy house, and it's God's house. And we have many rooms in God's mansion. I love that song, It's a Big, Big House. Anybody ever hear it? With lots and lots of rooms. Big, big table with lots and lots of food. I won't go on because it's kind of funny from there. But it's an amazing statement that just says that's what we can expect. We can expect the glory of God. Somebody said that the way that you can understand how glorious heaven is to recognize that what they use to pave the roads is pure translucent gold. And if gold is used up there just for paving material, imagine how glorious it is. It's an amazing place for us to have an expectation of going there where on this earth everything ends, there nothing ends. And we don't want it to end. Somebody believes in reincarnation. I said, that would be a trick of God. Can you imagine God just saying, this is my plan for you. You get to come to nirvana, utopia, heaven, whatever you call it, but then you got to go back to the earth and you're not going to remember anything that you learned the first time around. That would be like a big joke on humanity. But God has revealed to us that that's not the cyclical thing where eventually maybe we might make it into some type of impersonal relationship with the universe. God says, you know what? Heaven is going to be about being with the Lord. Heaven is going about, the Bible says, to be absent with the Lord, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. The greatest thing about heaven is not the gold. The greatest thing about heaven is not the foundations of pearls and all the beautiful expressions that John gives us in the book of Revelation. The greatest thing about heaven is about being with the Lord. Now, I think it's great when it says that God will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more sorrow, mourning, pain, none of those things. You know what that means? That in heaven, there might be doctors there, but they won't be practicing. There might be lawyers there, but they won't be practicing because there won't be any lawsuits in heaven. There won't be any graveyards in heaven, no morgues, no cemeteries, no need for hospitals, no need for lawsuits. All of those things are going to be passed away. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven. But the greatest thing and what makes all those things happen is that the Lord is there. And wherever you are with the Lord and in his presence, you have what the Bible calls pleasures forevermore. So I want to encourage you. If you don't have that expectation, God wants you to have it. The Bible is very clear that through justification by faith in the Lord Jesus, we can have hope of the glory of God. Each one of us individually can have hope that we could be with Jesus forever, be with the Father forever, never have to leave, be able to enjoy him for all eternity, and then be there with all the saints of God from every language, every tongue, every nationality. All of those people throughout time who have sought God and found God and therefore placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of that, they'll be there too. And if you are sitting here today and say, you know, I don't know if I have that hope. I don't know if I were to die right now if I would go to heaven. I don't know where I'd go. Somebody might be here and say, I know that I wouldn't go to heaven. Well, I just want to stop before we proceed with how God is speaking to us as a church. I want to speak to you individually, and I want to say, you know what? God has offered to you not an expectation of his wrath, but an expectation of his glory. See, the only reason why you might get the wrath of God is because you don't receive the promise of the glory of God. God doesn't make people for wrath. He makes people for relationship with himself, for his glory. And if you're not sure of it, it's not because God doesn't want you to be sure of it. It's because you're just not sure of it. You say, well, how can I be sure of it? Well, why don't you start by just praying to God? Why don't you just start by saying, God, I need you. I want you to forgive me of my sins that separate me from you according to the word of God, the Bible. I want you to forgive me for that. I'm sorry. I need you to come into my life. I want to follow Jesus, your son, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, who ascended back to the Father, is coming back again. Anything you say, well, how can I remember all that? Well, all you need to do is just start with this. God, I need you in my life. I want to find you. God, I need you to, and you can might add, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. And then let God forgive you. He promised that he would through his son, Jesus. Can we just stop and pray before we go on as a church and pray for anybody here who doesn't have that hope for their own self? And while I'm praying for you, feel free to pray yourself to God and let God do something awesome in your life today. God, we just pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, before we speak to all of us, for that one person or those few people who might be here this morning who say, you know, I don't know where I'd go. I don't have that hope. Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that you would let no one be left out. Anyone that's here, they're not left out of your voice right now, speaking to them by your Spirit. Don't let them be left out of having a relationship with you that's for all eternity. Jesus, you came to show us the way. You came to pay the price for our sins. I pray, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would let people receive you this day as their salvation. Let people pray to you and look for you today and find you to be their salvation so that they have no expectation of receiving your wrath but your glory. Father, thank you for the work that you're doing right now in people's lives, God. Thank you, Lord, that people are continually coming to you and churches all over the world, God, that are sharing this message, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Can we just give the Lord a faith clap of what he's doing in people's lives? Amen. I'm anxious to go on with the message, but I want to say to anybody who prayed this morning and said, you know, I'm starting a relationship with God, at the table in the back where we have the discovery books for School of Leaders, we also have a book for brand new beginners in their relationship with God called The Journey to Freedom. If you would just make a mental note or write down to yourself a reminder that you won't leave this place without that book, that will be very helpful for you. We have them in English and Spanish, and we want them to be given to you. All you have to do is write your name in it so you know it's yours, okay? So everyone who's starting a new walk with God, feel free to get a hold of that book before you leave, and that'll be a great blessing to you. Are you ready to go on with the rest of what God is saying? Boy, you're quiet this morning. Is it the heat? Is it the heat? Are you just worn out from this week of 100-degree temperature? Well, guess what? It's over tomorrow. That's what we hear, 80-degree weather. Anybody ready for some 80-degree weather? How about a 20-degree cool down? We're ready for it. Last week at the end of our service, we had a water baptism, and I just felt something from you. I just felt one of those ah moments. Ah, this is so good. It was just one of those beautiful moments where you were happy to be there. There were three precious ladies who, two on the teenage inside and one maybe a little bit more than a teenager. And she's probably laughing now because I think she's more than a year beyond a teenage year, but not much. And you heard their stories, and they were so beautiful. And it was so precious to see what the Lord had done in their hearts and how they were following the Lord. And I just felt one of those moments where we had gone through a couple of weekends of encounters. You remember the guys coming back from their counters? Do you remember them marching in down the aisle? What was the song that they were in? Ole, 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 ole. You remember the guys? After that, marching down the aisle, they were just all like filled with love and God's fire. And then the ladies coming in and just hearing the excitement of what God would. Did you hear the testimonies up here and in the water baptism? There was a sense of, wow, look at what God is doing in people's lives. And there was a beautiful, I think sometimes we recognize, wow, we're like a whole bunch of different people from a whole bunch of different places, languages, cultures, and we're all together. This is kind of a precious thing. This is a special thing. You don't normally experience stuff like this out in the world. But when God is moving in a church, you begin to experience those ah moments. Ah, it feels so. I felt that from you. I was having that moment last week, but I felt that from you. I felt like there are new people to our church who have just recently come to Christ, and I heard from their expressions that they looked in a lot of places, but they didn't find God until they came into a community of believers who had found God, and through their example, they were finding God themselves and coming into a relationship where they were excited. Their lives were being changed, and I heard that excitement. So I'm seeing new people to our church, new people that are coming to Christ, and I'm feeling their excitement. I'm feeling the excitement of others that are saying, wow, isn't that beautiful how that person's coming to know God's love, being set free? When you hear people give testimony about what happens after an encounter weekend, don't you just feel good all under? It's okay to feel good all over, but it's even better to feel good all under. I'm talking about on the inside where you feel like you're ready to burst out, you know. You're just so excited in your heart and your mind about what God is doing. And I've been feeling that about the excitement that we have. And I wanted to express this last week that at some point we need to recognize that that's God. Whose church is this? God's church. We're called Embassy Church. Somebody said when we voted to make our name Embassy Church, make sure that we communicate it's God's embassy. When we talk about church, we're not talking about a man-made institution. I know that there's a lot of churches that seem more man-made than God-made, but when we see God at work among us, we need to give God praise. This is not about some human. This is not about, I mean, it involves us, thank God, but this is not about the leaders of an encounter or the leaders of a cell group or the trustees or elders of a church, the pastors. This is not about them. I mean, sure, we thank God for all these people, and that's what makes up the church. But if there's anything going right in the church, it's because God is doing it. If people are coming to grow in their faith with God, growing in their knowledge of God, that's because God is doing it. And I tried to express that last week, and I didn't feel like I had an opportunity then at the end of our service to express it, and I just thought it just needs to be expressed that we need, if you love your church, you need to thank God for it. If you love this fellowship, if you love the prayer, if you love the Bible study, you need to thank God for it, because whatever is blessing you is God blessing you. It's not about, oh, our church is so great because, you know, Pastor Renan's voice is angelic. I love Renan's voice. There's not a voice I'd rather listen to, and I'm being sincere in that. I love his voice. But you know what? God gave him that voice. And if we're blessed by others in one way or another, we need to recognize that it's God who is doing that. Can you say amen? Our theme scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:20. And 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You're not your own ambassador. You're not this church's ambassador. You're Christ's ambassadors. This is God's work. We're doing this for Jesus. The reason why our lives are being changed. And by the way, I've been with Jesus for a long time now. How many years? I've been with Jesus for, when I made first commitment of my life to Jesus, I've been with Jesus for 42 years. Some of you say, how old are you? And then as a teenager, when I wandered and I began to compromise my faith because of the peer pressure around me, I had to make a new commitment in my life to Christ because I had sinned before God and blatant sin. I had just hidden my faith, and at 16, so now you can count up the age. So that was 24 years ago, okay? So now you know how old I am. 16, I made a profession. No, 34 years ago. I was being nice to myself, I guess. 34 years ago, a solid commitment in my life to Christ. But you know what? I'm still growing. I'm still growing in my faith, growing in my character, growing in my conversation, my communication. I'm learning continually how God is and what Jesus is like and applying it to my life. And I thank God for that. And one of the ways that I'm growing more than any other way is the group that I'm a part of, a cell group, a group of guys who are getting together and are confessing faults one another, praying for one another, getting to know one another, praying for our marriages, praying for our children, praying for our family. And when we struggle, we're sharing those struggles. You know what? God is at work in my life through that. And I thank God for it. It's not so much the cell group and the guys are so wonderful. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. But you know what it is? It's God's work in those brothers and their wisdom to look to God in prayer for their own lives, but also for mine. So even for my cell group, I give God praise. Anybody want to give God praise this morning? Come on. This thing is about God. Encounters are not just a smart thing to do. Those are things from God. Our services on Sunday, our times of prayer, our outreaches, all of these things are from God. And I just feel like the Lord is entrusting these things to us. I feel like the Lord is doing this for his own glory. And you know what? I hope that no one's getting the message right now of look how special our church is. I don't, with any pride or arrogance, say, I believe our church is special. I really do. But that doesn't mean I don't think that another church close by to us is special. I've already told you how awesome Washington International Church is. And I think they're as special, and I feel like they're even more special than we are. They've been around longer. They've developed themselves more. This is not a competition. This is not us comparing ourselves to each other. This is just recognizing God is at work in this city. God is raising up his people, and he's doing something. But I also know God is speaking to us. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Harold came here. What a gift he is from God to us. This great seasoned man of God who's been a leader in God's church in so many places for so many years. If I told you his age, you would be surprised. He does not look his age. He's been around even longer than you probably know. In such strategic places of leadership. And now he leads Project Bridges throughout this city of leaders in God's church. It's an amazing work from God. And he feels like God has placed him in our church to speak into our lives. And when he was here a few weeks ago, do you remember? He stood right here. He sat on this pew and began to share from his heart. And he began to talk to us about, do you really have a relationship with God? Do you really know him? Do you understand what it is to humble yourself before God, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, to be God's people, to pray, to seek his face, to turn from his wicked ways? Do you know what it is to receive an awakening from God, spiritual harvest, revival, seeing your life have an impact on others around you? He even said to us where whole communities of people are transformed. This is what the Bible talks about God coming and transforming people's families, communities. And he's been encouraging us in that. And when he was talking, I felt like he was really speaking a word of rebuke to our whole congregation, to me included. In fact, I felt it foremost for me. He at one point says, I hope everyone's okay about this. I feel like I'm stepping on your toes. But I just said, no, I want God to step on my toes, because I want God to tell me how to dance with him. I want God to show me where I'm out of step with him. I want God to point out, because I want to move where God is moving. I want to be where God is. If I'm not in a place of prayer like I need to be, I don't want God to ignore that. I want God to reveal that so he could bring me into a place of prayer where I need to be. And when God speaks to us as a church, it's an encouragement to me, because what it says to me is the Lord has chosen us. The Lord is giving us his word. He's saying, I want you in relationship with me to bring my glory to this earth. I want that because you're special to me. You're called of me. That to me is a privilege and an honor. The way the word of God says it in Hebrews chapter 12 is, if you receive discipline from the Lord, that's only because that's confirming that you're a child of the Lord. It's only children that are disciplined by their parents. And guess what? We have the most loving heavenly parent imaginable. And when he speaks to us, it's because he's saying to us that he wants something for us, that he wants us to experience something, and that is his presence. And when we experience his presence, his glory, then we can also reflect his glory to people around us. So here's where I want to talk to us as a church. We recognize that God is at work here at Embassy Church, and we don't give each other the praise. We give God the praise. It's God who saved us. It's God who bared with all of our sins, bore all of our inconsistencies, mine included, and brought us into a place where we could be in relationship with him, relationship with each other, and then reflect his glory. So we're giving God praise. So as I'm speaking to Embassy Church, knowing that God is at work among us, what can we expect going forward? And I believe the answer is twofold and is in just these two verses. The first thing that we can expect is the glory of God. The glory of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, the last part it says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, there might be confusion here, and you might say, well, I thought that was heaven. Well, did you know that you can experience heaven on earth to some degree? Are you aware of that? Are you aware that the presence that awaits you in heaven can also be experienced by you on this earth? Are you aware of that? Did you know that in Acts chapter 1, I don't have the verse up there, so you can write it down if you want, but I'm going to refer to others up there. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, the disciples are talking to Jesus. He's died. He's risen from the dead. He's ready to go back up into heaven. And they ask him, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And here's what he said. It's not for you to know the time or the day, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What's the word for power there? It's the same word that is related to that authority word that Jesus said when he talked about the kingdom. So let me say this. They were saying, what about the kingdom? He says, the kingdom is not yet, but the kingdom power is for you right now. What he was saying is, you get to experience the kingdom right here, right now, to some measure. You'll get all of it in heaven, but you'll have enough of it for what you need to experience here on this earth. Let me give you another example. In Matthew chapter 16, that verse there, Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9, Jesus made a very curious statement. The reason why I considered it curious is because we're looking at it 2,000 years later in retrospect. Here's what he said. He said, there are some of you standing right here who will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God. And when I first read those passages, I thought, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense because these dudes died before they went to heaven. Jesus didn't come back yet. How is he saying that before they will die, they will see the kingdom of heaven? Well, the way to understand Scripture is through the whole of Scripture. If you don't understand one verse, look at the whole chapter. If you don't understand the chapter, look at the whole book. In context, the Scripture always makes sense. The answers to every question are all there. You just have to find them. So I'm asking the question, Jesus, I don't really get this because you're saying that they wouldn't die before they saw the kingdom of heaven. Then I turn the chapter. How many of you know that chapters and verses are very helpful? Did you know that in the Bible? Having chapters and verses, those are very helpful. Otherwise, you would have a huge scroll, and if you want to find one verse, you just have to keep looking and looking and looking through it. Now, for the last several hundred years, we've had chapters and verses given to us, but they were given to us by humans, not by God. Okay? So chapters and verses are not inspired. So sometimes the chapter and verse breaks up the whole meaning. So if you ignore the chapter and verse of these statements, you'll see in the very next verse, it says that Jesus took them up to a high mountain, and there he was transfigured before their eyes. And his garments became whiter than white and glorious. And down came Moses and Elijah. Pastor, it was Moses and Elijah. Am I right? I'm checking with you, okay, because I'm going from memory. My memory's not always right. Down comes Moses and Elijah. Do you know what they were experiencing right at that moment? The kingdom of God. They were seeing the kingdom of God. They were seeing Jesus, not in his low form as a human, but they were seeing him manifested as the glorious Son of God and all the radiance of his glory that he will see him in heaven. And there with him is Moses and Elijah. And so we see a picture of the community of God's saints in a timeless way. These guys had already died, but now they're walking and talking just like they had never died. That's the kingdom of God. And when Jesus said to them, you will see the kingdom of God, the answer is in the very next verse, it tells us that he took them up to the mountain and showed them the kingdom of God. Believer in Jesus, you have the full expectation of the glory of God when you get to heaven. But how many of you know that you can get a taste of heaven on earth? You can experience, some have called it the manifest presence of God. The presence of God that is so thick you can almost cut it with a knife. The reality is God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He said he'll be with us to the ends of the earth. But there are other moments in time where God makes himself so real, so tangible, so close to us, where we cannot deny. It's not something that we have to intellectually understand. It's something emotionally that we can feel. It's something our whole being can sense and our whole being can connect with. It's the glory of God. Some say, well, I don't know, Pastor, what you're talking about. Let's look at some other verses and give us an idea of what we're talking about. In Exodus chapter 33, there's a beautiful story about how God is saying to Moses, Moses, I'm done with this whole thing. Every time I tell these people what to do, they don't do it. And And even you kind of messed up at the rock. I told you not to do, you know, all these things. It's just, you know, recognizing the failure of people. I mean, people fail, right? We all fail. And God's like, you know what? Just, we need to start this all over. Just, you know. And Moses starts to say, Lord, wait a minute. If you tell us that you're going to bring us into the promised land, but your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. It's all about your presence. What Pastor Harold was saying to us is some people settled for church without the presence of God. They settle for the routine without the presence of God, without experiencing a personal relationship with God. And when God calls me to not settle for churchianity, Christianity without Christ, without knowing Christ, without being with Jesus, without growing in Jesus, without experiencing Jesus, that's not what I want. Moses said, I don't want that. And it won't be glorious. It won't be God revealing his glory to the nations. If we just go in, we're just another people. But you called us to be your people. We need to go with your presence. And I love that place in verse number 18 where Moses says, God, show me your glory. You see, some people say, oh, I've already had glory. I went to an encounter. I got saved several years ago. I already had glory. So did Moses. Moses was there on Mount Sinai, and the glory of God came. And he was there so powerfully in the presence of God that he is the only human being I know in all of human history that for 40 days not only did not eat food but did not drink water. That is physically impossible. But that's the kind of stuff that could happen with the presence of God. And he said, this is the same guy who in verse 18, several chapters later, is saying, God, show me your glory. I love the place where later on in this chapter where it says that Moses talked with God and God talked with Moses as if face-to-face friends were talking. And Moses would then go out to the people, but then it says, but Joshua stayed in the tent. He would not leave. Here's this young protege of Moses, and he's getting in the presence of God. And when he's in the presence of God, he says, I'm not going anywhere else. This is awesome. I don't want to be anywhere except in the presence of God. You see, I believe what the Lord is saying to us is that God wants to give us his presence. That's almost really a synonym for glory. You say, well, how do you know it's a synonym for glory? Because later on in this chapter, Moses is saying, show me your glory. And God says to him, no one's seen my face and lived. So here, I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to turn you around. And I'm going to put your face in the cleft of a rock. I'm going to put your face right in a rock, and I'm going to cover you with my hand. And then I will pass by. And when I pass by, you will see the remnant, really, the rear of my glory. You'll see the leftover of all that I am. Now, we know that in Christ, we don't have to worry about our sins holding us back from all the glory of God. But at that place, Christ had not yet been sacrificed on the cross, and sin was still an issue. It was maintained for a while to prepare us for the ultimate sacrifice of Christ. But God says, you know what? It's not time for you to see my glory. So he hid him in that place, and he covered him with his hand, and he went by, and it says that he saw the rear of God's glory. He saw as it was going by, as it was going away. I think the message there for us is that we can pray and say, Lord, I want to see your manifest glory. I want to see you at work so powerfully. I want to have a hunger for you. And whatever that is, whatever that looks like, God, whether it's the rear or the front or the side, whether it's this, that, or the other, I'm going to leave that up to you. But I'm going to have a hunger as a believer for more of your glory. I want to experience what you have for us, especially when we're under great attack from the enemy, all kinds of trials and tribulations, especially when persecution and suffering comes our way. At that point, we need to see the glory of God. And we need to not just expect it when we get to heaven, we'll see the glory of God. If Moses could have said, I want to see it here and now, and God showed it to him, shouldn't we be allowed to see it? If those disciples were taken up on the Mount of Transfiguration and shown the glory of God's presence in the kingdom of God, aren't we also candidates who say, Lord, we'll go to any experience you have for us here on this earth. If there's any of your glory you want to show us, we are candidates. Anybody a candidate here this morning for the glory of God? If so, can you say amen? Read those passages in 1 Kings chapter 8. Read these this week. Read Isaiah 6. Read Habakkuk 2. Write these verses down. Read these. See how the glory of the Lord filled the temple to the place where the priests couldn't even carry on their regular duties. hunger for these things. Pray. The Word of God says eagerly desire spiritual gifts. One of the reasons why we don't have spiritual gifts is because we're not eagerly desiring them. One of the reasons why we're not glorious in our ministry is because we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, seeking God for these precious things that God has for us. One of the reasons why we don't experience miracles is because we're okay without them. We got doctors, we have all kinds of, you know, but at some point we need to say, God, if you want to heal, we want your healing in Jesus' name. But guess what? I believe God wants to heal. Now, there might be a time and a place, the ultimate healing we know is heaven, but at some point we need to not settle for all of the, glorious experiences of the normal Christian life that we see all around us. We need to be abnormal in this sense where we say, you know what, we're not going to settle for church as usual. We want the glory of God. In Isaiah 6:3, it talks about how the whole earth is filled with his glory. In Habakkuk 2, it says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. This is what we can expect from God. This is what we can believe from God, however it looks. Let me give you a picture of this, if I could, of what we can expect. Trying to remember when it was. I think it was a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago. Pastor Harold called me and said, Dave, I got a group of people that are going to go out to Winchester, Virginia. There's a group of pastors there, five pastors and five churches that have been in prayer for, I don't remember what day it was, but they were in the midst of 21 days of prayer and seeking God. And he said, would you come out and just see what God is doing out there? And let's believe God for the D.C. metro area. And I said, sure, that's where I am. I love it. Let's go. And so a group of us went out. I think it was around 10, 11, 12 of those that were going out with him. And we went out there, and there was this woman there that was speaking named Rhonda Huey. Rhonda is a really precious sister in Christ and a great leader in God's work. And she's been involved with the Transformations videos, if any of you have seen them, with George Otis. She's been involved in the 24-hour prayer center out there in Kansas City, Missouri, and she was involved with the Argentine Revival. She knows all of those people. She lived down there for several years. She's experienced so much of the glory of God. And she was there speaking, and as she was speaking, I felt such a hunger inside, and I felt like the guys and ladies around me were sharing that hunger, and it was just like, God, we want the glory of God in Washington, D.C. We want the glory of God in our churches. I want the glory of God in my life. I want to experience the kingdom of God. I want to experience the real deal, the manifest presence of God. I want there to be a free flow, and I want it to be a holy thing and an exciting thing. I want to see God's glory so much that it's reflected naturally. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to conjure it up. It just is there, and everyone can see it all around, kind of like the book of Acts and the Pentecost day and all those days. I want that, God. And while we're there feeling this hunger, we're watching these pastors and people, how they're going through a process that they called the divine experiment. And what they did was they heard from God and said God wanted them to consecrate 21 days of prayer, fasting involved, not fasting the whole time, but fasting involved as the Holy Spirit leads. Maybe some fasted the whole time. I really don't know, to be honest with you. They said, definitely we want to fast those things that are distracting, all the electronic stuff. We want to just give ourselves to the presence of God. And we're there in the afternoon listening to this, and we're feeling this hunger inside. And then that night we were invited to a service, and all these churches had come together. And we heard beautiful confessions and times of testimonies. And it was just normal, everyday people that live out there in Winchester, Virginia. And they were getting up there and talking about what God was speaking to them, what God was doing in their lives. It was like that Sunday that we had a few Sundays ago, where at the end of the service, I think it was three people, we sat here in the presence of God with some beautiful music playing for several moments. And then at the end, I think it was three individuals who got up and said, here's how God dealt with me during this time. And it was beautiful stuff that had great effect, we know, on families, on the work situation, and on the church. It was beautiful what God spoke to us. And so I believe we've had a taste of that, of waiting in the presence of God and seeing what God alone could do, how God could transform our lives and bring his glory into our lives, bring his beauty into our lives, when we would just wait before him and be in prayer and be in a place where God could speak to us. But then we're with a church, with churches who have done that for 21 days, and we're thinking to ourselves, you know, imagine what God's going to do here. Then they played a clip of a video from that we're going to show the first Friday of next month at our all-church prayer time. And it was a time where whole communities are being transformed by the glory of God. They showed places where the bars have shut down, where the police say they have hardly anything to do anymore. Communities in Fiji, down in South and Central America and Africa and all other places, way up in the or down in the islands and way up in the tundra, the frozen areas of this globe. And they showed communities that were completely transformed. They talk about the glory of God that is in those communities. And as we're listening to that, we're thinking, God, we want you to do that. If you just did that in one neighborhood in D.C., that would be for your glory. If you did it in just one apartment building, if you did it in just one college, one jail, one embassy, if you would just move in to that place where no one could deny that you were there, that it was all about you, one church in Washington, D.C., where everyone could walk in and say, wow, this is God. There's no denying it. There are places where God has moved throughout history where before anyone preached, people just walked by places where the glory of God was and they fell down crying and repenting of their sins because the presence of God was so powerful. The glory of God was so tangible that even sinners were touched by the manifest presence of God. And as we're talking about this, we're just saying, what do we do now? And right after, God led Pastor Harold, and he called a number of us together for a follow-up meeting. And three or four Monday nights ago, about 30 of us came together. And Rhonda came back and shared with us what was happening all over the world and praying about D.C. And at the end, there was expressions on the part of pastors and leaders of churches. I want that. I want to share that with my congregation. I want us to experience that. So as I share over the next, this week and next, I want to share with you, my first point is that we need to expect the glory of God, not only in heaven, but we can expect it right here in our lives at this moment. We can experience it in our homes. We can experience it in our churches. We can experience it in our communities, in this city. We can experience the glory of God. Some say, well, how can we experience the glory of God? Well, I'm going to get very descriptive of this next week. And I'm going to make another point of what we can expect as we go forward. But can I just share this? What we're praying about right now is about doing this divine experiment right here in Washington, D.C. And for whatever it's worth for you right now, would you begin to pray and ask God to lead those people who are processing this? And what I expect, because we've already had now a second follow-up meeting, I expect that somewhere early to mid-September, there are going to be churches and ministries that are offered the opportunity to take 21 days and set it aside for God. And every evening to have opportunity with no commitment that everyone has to make to be there every night, no demand that people have to be there every night, but to set aside 21 days, days of consecration. And we're going to break that down in a little bit more in detail next week. But I think you understand what I'm saying right now. That 21 days are going to be given on the part of different ministries, different people that are believers that are in communities together and are going to separate themselves for 21 days and in evenings come together and just sit in the presence of God and pray. And whatever the Lord brings into their mind to thank him for, to thank him. Whatever the Lord brings to their mind to worship him about, to do it. Whatever the Lord brings into their mind to confess of or to repent of, that God would not only help us to worship him with our words, but to worship him with our lives that are clean and pure before him. I heard pastors give testimony that they went to this place of consecration feeling pretty clean. And in that place where God was dealing with them, they realized there were things they needed to confess and make right. Times or places of areas of repentance they needed to make right with God. And they said that they went out of their way to do that. And they stepped back into the pulpit the very next week. And there was a new and fresh anointing on their ministry. There was a new flow of God's Spirit. And so I just said, Lord, with a desire on my part, and I believe on all of our part, to not be in any way an impediment to what God wants to do, we want to separate ourselves, give ourselves an opportunity to hear from God. I love encounters, but I believe that encounters will be all the more powerful when we precede those encounters with days of prayer, involved with fasting, consecration, separating ourselves from things of this world, certainly from sin, certainly from the work of Satan in our lives and in our church, and separating ourselves from that so that God could have us completely, body, soul, and spirit, every thought, every attitude. He can have all of us completely so that when he has all of us completely, he can completely reflect his glory to a city that is desperately in need of the glory of God. I'm not just talking about the leaders of our city, the leaders of our country. I'm talking about moms, dads, children in broken homes, broken lives all over this city who are in desperate need of the glory of God. I know this. This church is not enough to meet those needs, but the glory of God is. There, even with all the churches all over this city, it's not enough to meet all those needs, but God can meet those needs. And if God is given the opportunity to demonstrate his glory in this city, we will see transformation by the power of Almighty God. What can we expect? We can expect the glory of God as we give ourselves to him. Would you begin to pray for those plans for September? Would you begin to ask yourself, the Lord, what does that mean for me? How, if that happens, how should I respond? What do I do about my schedule? Lord, what do I do about my finances or my need for sleep or all other things? Would you begin to commit all those things to the Lord and let the Lord lead you, because he's not going to break you down in this process where you're so broken that he can't even reflect his glory. He wants to strengthen us and lift us up. He wants to heal us and enable us to experience his glory. We're treasures. We're jars of clay. That's what the Bible says. The treasure of God is in jars of clay. God will strengthen our jars. He will strengthen our frame. But we want his treasure. Amen. We want his glory. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to realize that we're in a moment where you've been speaking to us. We're in a moment, Father, where you've been pouring out your blessings on us. And Lord, help us to understand that you want us to experience so much of your glory, God. So much, God, of your presence in our personal lives, but also in our church. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for what you want to do. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, God, to hear clearly what is being spoken this morning, God, from your Spirit. That, Lord, you've been doing this, separating to yourself a people, calling them out to experience your presence, so that your presence so fills our lives, Father, that it would be so easy just to reflect your glory and see miracles all around us, Father. Father, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would give us, God, your glory. God, I pray that before we even ask for your glory, that you would make us hungry for your glory. Make us, God, desirous of your glory. Let us not settle for anything less than all the glory that you have for us, to reveal to us, to reveal in us, to reveal through us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to have great expectation, Lord, of what you could do with a humble people, God, in a local church, in a vast and powerful city. Help us, God, to have faith, Lord, for what you could do with your people who experience your presence, God. Lord, I pray for hunger that would cause us to pray, cause us to posture ourselves, to position ourselves, both emotionally and physically, God, to receive from you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you have an expectation that you've given to us of your glory, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Praise God.